Grade 6, Conference, Lecture 31, Narrative and Expository Writing. Here's another piece from main lesson book in physics. Now we've left acoustics and we are in light, color, optics. So here's a demonstration being described. First, Mr. Schwartz put water in a fishbowl. Then he put yellow paint in his right hand and put red paint in his left hand. He slowly poured the yellow paint into the water. The yellow looked stringy and sank to the bottom. He then stirred the paint and it became smoky. Then he poured the red paint into the fishbowl. It slowly sank to the bottom and a little bit rose above the yellow. Then Mr. Schwartz stirred both colors together to make orange, a secondary color. First, Mr. Schwartz emptied the fishbowl and put fresh water into the fishbowl. He also added water to the paints to make them more diluted. Yellow in the right hand and red in the left. He slowly poured the yellow in, and it sank to the bottom and swelled and rose up on the sides. When he poured the red in, it sank down and mixed slowly with the yellow and became layered. The next day we did the same thing with red and blue and yellow and blue. The red and blue gave us purple, and the yellow and blue gave us green. So there you have it, just the facts, just, you know, one thing after another, carefully observed. Now, I should mention that these color demonstrations, which are among the first given in the color part of the physics block, these move very slowly. You can imagine viscous paint being poured into water. You're going to have a lot of time to watch it move and to watch the reaction. And we do this purposely, because later demonstrations will tend to move more quickly. By the time they're in the upper grades working with electricity, magnetism, we'll see some of that in Roberto's video, and then there are other demonstrations they do in later grades, things happen very, very quickly. Their senses have to be honed and trained, ready to see things that happen immediately. But here, there's still a quality, a leisurely quality of this. It's also very interesting that although the children have seen these colors since kindergarten, when we do this demonstration in this way, there are a lot of oohs and ahs and wow, but the student did not bring that in. You know, the student's merely describing what went on in the purely sensory level and not what went on within. And there's something to be said for that, to really keep this response outside. Here's another example of expository writing. This is in an optics demonstration. I did optics in grade 6. Roberto waits to do that in a later grade, so you won't see that in his videos, but you will see it in my slideshow. Mr. Schwartz put a tall rectangular mirror in front of the classroom. He then stood very close to it, but on the left side of the mirror. From that angle, he could not see his own reflection, but he could see Jake through the mirror, who was sitting on the other side of the room. Jake could see Mr. Schwartz in the mirror, but he could not see his own reflection either. It is called the angle of inflection and the angle of reflection. These terms help us understand the wonders of a mirror. An easier way of explaining this is if you and a friend are playing wall ball, and you want to pass the ball to them, you throw it at the wall at an angle, as shown on the next page, and then accompanying this expository description, as so often is the case, there's a diagram so that it's definitely clear and one could see it. It's hard to put some of these things specifically into words. So here you have this sense, you know, very different from a narrative method of writing. As we'll see when we look at the physics class itself, and also in the videos and the slideshows about it, there's a great deal of polarity in these demonstrations, so that the expository writing that they're doing very often is describing polarizing phenomena, which again is perfect. Grade 6 is a year of polarities. Every subject they learn, and we'll see this going into the language arts as well. Already we have narrative and expository writing. Everything is now sort of dividing in different ways, and they have to experience how to create complementary experiences. Just as they see right away in color, there are the three primary colors, there are the complementary colors as well. And this is a wonderful experience, and when they are able to experience the so-called physiological colors after images, they see how they themselves help to create this balancing phenomenon. So this is also there in their writing. Now, when you're starting off the expository writing, you have to give them examples. So certainly, you should write out two or three descriptions of demonstrations to show how you hone your style, how there's no need, in fact, it won't even be accepted for a lot of ornamentation of writing. There will be children who will resist this, who will want to write in the most subjective way possible, turn everything into a story. And I wouldn't say, you know, you should slap them on the wrist or anything, but give them other examples, other ways of doing this, and stress that now they're old enough to be able to write in two different ways. You know, show this expository writing is not a punishment. It's not a kind of throwing your narrative abilities out the window, but rather it's something to aspire to realize that you're able to see the world in different ways and therefore write about it. Some teachers insist that when they start to write about scientific phenomena, you want to do the lab report, you know, materials needed, steps taken, phenomena observed, hypothesis, conclusion. I think that's pushing things a bit. They'll certainly be doing that in high school. I did very little of that. Sometimes a student might have seen someone else's main lesson book in another class and really wanted to write that way. You know, you have to give them room to experiment and find their own voice and style. But I think putting it in this kind of artificial and rigid form does, in a certain way, slay the narrative forces that still live strongly with the children. So I would say that that is not necessary. You'll see in the slideshow in particular many examples of demonstrations being written up, and you'll see that it's possible to do narratives of all kinds. Roberto Trusley feels, in fact, it's important to bring elements of beauty and imaginativeness to the expository descriptions in order to counterbalance the very material quality of the phenomena that they're watching, in order to still bring a sense of joy and beauty to what they're doing. So you'll have to see, you know, how you find your students reacting to it. But little by little, you are definitely peeling away, teasing out the interwoven relationship of art and science, narrative and exposition, that's been living in the children in the early grades. Now you are helping them take a step towards greater polarization, to realize there are two very different ways of looking at the world, and that we carry both within us. You know, we are the unifiers in our own nature. In the next lecture, I want to go on to examine the grammatical side of language arts work.